Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Thank you for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. Oh, I forgot to make my social media post, and I'm not going to do it now because I'm on the air. I'll get all distracted. But if you guys could, please go to social media, post something that we're live, you know, see if we can attract some people over here. And I want to thank those people who join us live every Wednesday and Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. And for those of you who are downloading the podcast, man, I really appreciate that. The numbers increase like every single week, which is awesome. And I should tell you, I kind of use Buzzsprout as my kind of key because Buzzsprout gets downloaded through all the other podcast providers. So I can kind of see my numbers there. And I get a report every week. I want to tell you guys a little something. So today's show, it could be a disaster or maybe not. But, and I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. Just remember, this is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. But today, I am simultaneously recording the video along with the podcast. So when I post the show later, it should actually be my video camera. And we'll see how that goes. I don't know. I kind of like the pictures because, you know, I have a face for radio, but we're going to try it out and see how it plays out. I don't know. Let's check and see how that's going. Oh, it's going good. I have the bears on in the background. You know, the bears at Katmai, Alaska. Just for a minute until I get started with the actual show. So anyway, yeah, go to social media, make a post. Let's see if we can drive some traffic to Real Liberty Media. You guys, I'm telling you, I have such a blessed life, and I just want to thank God for a minute for everything that I have been able to experience in my entire life. I appreciate it. You know, I had a heart attack on the 15th of August, and I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. I'm probably one of the most optimistic people in the world. In fact, I was making jokes as we were going off to the in the ambulance, you know, and pretty optimistic. I have a pretty dang good life, and but no matter who you are or how positive you are, man, that's a punch in the gut right there. It's a reality call. Like, hey, you had a heart attack, man. It doesn't really matter why, and I'll probably discuss that a little bit later. But yeah, it's for real. Like, it really happened. It's no joke. Had a heart attack. And, you know, initially it kind of set me back. Like, oh, I got to take it easy. I had a heart attack. But, you know, I talked about before, you know, the documented status of my health over the last 2 years is well documented. I had it. Well, I'm not going to go over it again. But when I met with the cardiologist on Wednesday, I had a really good discussion with him, and then on Friday, I started my cardiac rehab. And to have the nurses who are basically in charge, or the ones who supervise you during cardiac rehab, to have them actually say, you're not the typical cardiac patient. I mean, I kind of knew that instinctively. I kind of knew that because of the way I lived my life before the heart attack and all the reasoning I came up with, you know, during and after the heart attack. It was good to hear from the nurses and actually to get back. I mean, the first day they put you on every single machine and have you kind of work for a few minutes on each machine. And get your heart rate up and see how you're doing. And, you know, I had ridden my stationary bike 5 or 6 days a week, 20, 30 minutes a day, before I had the knee injury, which, of course, led to a surgery on the 10th of August, and then I had a heart attack on the 15th. So to be able to get back to moving, to get that okay, like, hey, it's okay to start exercising, you know, all things in moderation, of course, but just to kind of get that okay, let's do this. And actually, I checked out pretty good at the cardiac rehab, so that was really good that, you know, things were going well right off the bat. Do you guys hear this audio? Let me just check, because I don't want you to hear this audio in the background. Let's see, where is it? No, you're not hearing it. Okay, good. God, I just love my system. I was saying this a little bit last show, like how long it's been since I had to say anything about my audio or correct stuff on the fly or have feedback and all this stuff. I really have it kind of dialed in, knock on wood, which is why I'm trying to do the video stream at the same time. Now, here's the temporary problem I have. It's not really a problem, but I'm recording the audio on a separate, complete system than I'm recording the video. And now I'm going to have to match up the video from OBS on the audio from QTractor. I don't think it'll be that hard, honestly. If it is, I won't put up the video. But anyway, yeah, it's just been awesome. So yeah, that's why we're doing a little experimentation, is because I guess I feel comfortable enough with what's going on with the audio and the broadcasting station and, you know, all that stuff, which I make it sound a lot more difficult than it is. It's really not. And I really would encourage anybody who wants to do a show, let us know, like in chat, or send us an email, come to Real Liberty Media. You can leave a message there. You can leave comments on my BitChute, Rumble, Odyssey, Buzzsprout, you know, Spotify, I don't know, the iHeartRadio, Podcaster, Live FM, Library, all those places. You could leave a message, and I would encourage you to try it, man. Just make sure you have a decent microphone. Doesn't have to be awesome, just a decent microphone. And you might want to have headset so that you're not getting a bunch of feedback, you know, from whatever you're playing on the desktop. You don't want that audio going in your mic. Or maybe you do. I know a lot of people have done that in the past. So, yeah, let's move on. So today, college football has started. I have the Badgers playing on the big screen over on the wall there. So I'll glance up once in a while and see that they are still kicking butt. The Ducks just got creamed by, who was it, Georgia today? I think Georgia, yeah. They just got slaughtered, which I knew was coming because first-year head coach and, you know, a lot of changes at Oregon. That's okay. That was a big stretch starting the season with, you know, like the number 3 ranked team in the country. Some would argue should be number 1 in the country. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So college football, man, the season is here, which means, you know what it means. The weather's going to be changing. It's summertime now. Today we have a little overcast, cool day, and it's beautiful. But, yeah, you know, things are changing here. So that's kind of awesome. And then, you know, the cold weather will come. That'll be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. Although, I got to tell you, man, this is the craziest thing that I have had. Since I started the blood thinners and the blood pressure medication and the statin and all that stuff, or just since I had my heart attack, I have been so chilly. I mean, even on 80 and 90 degree days, there's some times when I'm just cold, honestly. It's the craziest thing. But, you know, probably I will adapt. I would think eventually I'll adapt and everything will be fine. But I'm looking forward. I don't care how cold I am. in the fall, in the winter, in the spring. I'm going to enjoy it, man. Summer is my least favorite season. Even though, like, for the garden, it's been awesome. You know, the garden is looking fantastic. We're producing a lot of food out of there. I was looking today. I kind of wonder about that apple tree I talked about last year. Remember that little tiny four-year-old apple tree that gave us gallons and gallons of apples for applesauce? And this year, I don't know if it's going to produce any apples. Honestly, I don't see an apple on a tree, which is fine. It's fine. You know, it's like it did a such a fantastic job last year. And it's not dead or anything. It's healthy. Just for whatever reason, there are no apples on there. And they should be coming on. I mean, they should be on, like ready, you know, in October, November. So I don't know. But the pear trees are doing awesome. The fig trees are doing awesome. We have lots of other trees doing awesome right here on the property. So I'm not really worried about the apple tree. And should we need to, we will go buy a couple bushels of apples. You know, should we need to. We still have applesauce from last year. So not going to be a problem, I don't think. I'm going to close down some notes here. There's way too much stuff on my screen. Okay, there we go. And, you know, I got to remember that video camera's running, so I can't, you know, I can't pick my nose or whatever. That'll be interesting because I'm not watching the camera at all. Checking the chat room, make sure everything's going good there. Looks like we're still working. Okay, so the last show I said I had a couple topics that I've really been waiting to cover for a very long time. And today is really going to be kind of a single topic show. Because I've been waiting so long, and every single day more stuff comes out about COVID and everything that a lot of us knew about COVID and argued about COVID and the jab. And, you know, really, I just think this wasn't a pandemic of a disease. It was actually a pandemic of politics. And you're going to see that, I think, play out as I go through the show today. I have a lot of stuff to share with you, and I hope in the very end, I talked about detoxing from the spike protein before, and I'm really going to go into a little bit of depth at the end of the show and explain why the spike protein causes so many problems and kind of go over each thing that they talk about. There's like six things that they talk about you can do, and only one or two of them you might need a little help getting that particular solution, ivermectin, for example. You know, to get your hands on some ivermectin, I mean, a few months ago, well, I think it was a year ago when I ordered mine up, it was a giant pain in the ass, which is funny because when I had goats, when I was raising goats, I used to go get ivermectin all the time, or invermectin, it's called both, because I had to, you had to inject the goats like quarterly to keep them from getting parasites. Which that was the original intention of ivermectin. Invermectin was to rid people of parasites that caused, you know, river blindness was one example. And it just so happens that invermectin would, had some antiviral properties. So, you know, our wonderful U.S. government, you know, locked down, literally took away ivermectin, made it impossible to get. You had to go outside of the country, basically, to get invermectin or ivermectin for human consumption. And then they locked up so much of it and prevented it from getting to the market because they knew, for one thing, and this is what's so damn irritating, and why this government needs to be held responsible for killing people. Because they knew that ivermectin would save hundreds of thousands of lives. Versus, you know, whatever hospital protocol they were going for with all these respirators and isolation and not being able to see your loved ones as you're being killed by the system. The government prevented people from getting their hands on a commonly used, proven to be safe medication just to let people die, I guess. And you know, if you think about what went on in the past week with Biden's speech, you know, how divisive it was and how it just looked like, I'm not going to get into it because I didn't even watch the speech. I saw some of the photos from it, but I heard some comments about it, you know, and just looking at it, you can tell, man, it wasn't, I don't know what that was. It was like a warning shot, you know, over the bow, like, here we come. And it's going to be interesting to see how this year plays out politically also. But I hope to God, and one of the reasons why, I'm not going to give up on constantly badgering the federal government or local governments. I mean, it starts from your county, from your city, county, on up. Every single government agency did not protect the population as it should have. Oh, they thought that they were protecting the population all right by forcing mask mandates and forcing lockdowns. I mean, look at how much damage has been done to people. Look how high suicide rates went up tremendously. Overdose rates went up tremendously. Overdose deaths went up tremendously. Drug abuse and alcohol abuse went up tremendously. Children have been like irreparably, I can't really say irreparably harmed. I believe when you're young, you have an ability to heal from just about anything. And I think you could point to, you know, examples throughout your lives and, stories have been told of people literally healing from just about everything. But a lot of damage was done, man, to the kids. You know, and it's still going on. I'm going to get into this to my notes here pretty quick. But even today, every single day, you hear more and more how, you know, now this jab is available for infants and children. And I'm thinking to myself, who in their right mind would submit their children to getting this jab? But they're out there. The people that don't know. I mean, they have no idea the stuff that we talk about here on Real Liberty Media. Redneck Dennis. Hal Anthony behind the woodshed. People aren't aware of this stuff. Half of the country, I'm guessing, is not aware of all the damage that's been documented by these jabs. Documented. You know, studies have been done, people looking at this, people actually conducting science and collecting data and presenting the results. Oh, Hal's not going to be on tomorrow. Oh my gosh, that kind of breaks my heart. Dang it, behind the woodshed. Hey, we might have to make sure one of his other programs is running at his usual time. That would be awesome. Maybe I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. Oh my goodness, first vacation in a long time, I guess, for him. Well, that's awesome. Anyway, yeah, so I'm going to go through a lot of the damage that the jab has caused. And you know what's kind of crazy? You know, you look at this situation that we are in right now today. Do you hear about COVID killing people? Really? Every day? Not really. You don't hear the death count every day. I mean, there's a reason for that. I mean, there is really, truly a reason for that. The current administration doesn't want that going on. I mean, if there are deaths due to COVID-19, Omicron, or whatever variant might be out there now, well, they don't want that news getting out. I mean, you know, it's election year. They got to clean it up. They got to sweep a lot of stuff under the table, which is interesting because, I forget her name. Let's go to the notes so I can get this. It's kind of funny. I forget her name. You know why? Because I think she's a flipping idiot. Oh, health officials backtrack on, well, just about everything, but they need more money. As a matter of fact, a couple $1 trillion will fix everything. Rochelle Walensky. Yeah, let's get into her just a little bit. And I'm going to change my background here because we want to talk about this. Let me check just one thing. Sorry, peeps. That'll work, sort of. Works enough. Who cares? I was checking the video. All right. I got to have a drink. Hang on a sec. Rochelle Walensky. Yeah. Imagine calling out misinformation spreaders like me for 2 years, then publishing updated guidance matching exactly what those spreaders been calling for all along, while admitting your science originates from CNN and Pfizer press releases. I mean, there's a problem right there. And, well, I'll get to it in a minute. I have some comments about Rochelle Walensky, but let me get through this first initial bit. August 17th, 2022, which was just, 2 weeks ago, U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, publicly admitted the agency's COVID response fell short. It kind of worries me that she said it fell short because... You know what we think about, like those of us who were in the know and who have been in the know from the beginning? We know what fell short looks like. I mean, we were trying to get people on board with making their own decisions versus being forced into vaccines and mask mandates and social distancing and whatever. But when she says it fell short, I really wish she would expand on that because, you know, my idea and her idea about falling short are probably two different things. She said it fell short and that the internal reorganization has been launched to improve response times and data sharing and to make health guidance easier to understand. 6 days before this announcement, the CDC published updated COVID guidance now matching what misinformation spreaders have called for all along. In other words, basically what they say now is, you know, you have to do your own self-assessment and you have to figure out what's the best plan of action for you. Yeah. You know, back when we were saying, hey, you know, if you're young and healthy, if you're middle-aged and healthy, if you're 65 and healthy, you know, take care of yourself. Eat right. Take some vitamins and some supplements and some zinc and some ivermectin and some just be reasonable about where you're going and what you're doing, and you're probably going to survive. Oh, no, that was horrible information back when we were saying that's what we should do. But now, I mean, now they're saying that's what you should do. Yeah. You should make... Oh, sorry about that. Should have muted the mic. Yeah, you should make your own decisions about this. You know, if you're young and healthy, you probably don't need the vaccine. Although they're still pushing it, man. Now they have the COVID-19 vaccine with an Omicron adjustment in it. So, you know, it'll be more effective against Omicron. I hate to think what more effective might mean, because this vaccine has been the greatest failure of a vaccine doing what a vaccine should do of any vaccine out there. I can't even think of another vaccine that's performed even half as poorly as this vaccine, and yet they are still pushing it. And I think there's a lot of people now who are saying, look, no, I'm not going to get a booster every 4 months. Your booster wanes so quickly. You know, so if you got a booster today, if you literally got a booster today, and you're just living your life, doing whatever you do, and you decide next month you're going to go to the state fair, and you get exposed to whatever at the state fair, your ability, the jab's ability to do anything is gone. It's below 50%. So what good did it do you to get that back today or booster today when, you know, in a month it's going to be 40% effective? That's not what I think of when I think of getting a vaccine of any kind, honestly. I'm kind of not one of those vaccine people anyway. I didn't like the pneumonia vaccine, although everybody says, you know, at a certain age, you should start getting the pneumonia vaccine. And I guess there's a shingles vaccine, but all of those appear to work at some level. Provide you, oh, they're doing jump around at the Badger game. Oh, I just love that. And I hate that I'm not hearing it right now. So I might have to just play that a little later. We'll see. Oh, goodness. Dang it. Sort of lost my train of thought, too. Oh, no, the vaccines. I mean, there's a lot of vaccines out there that appear to work. This vaccine really doesn't. Let's get back on track with the notes. That'll help me. Despite widespread failures and blatant corruption within the CDC, the National Institute of Health, and the Food and Drug Administration, the Health and Human Services is asking for a bigger budget. That'll fix everything, right? $2 trillion probably fixed a lot of stuff. Its proposed budget for 2023 is $1.7 trillion in mandatory spending and another $127 billion in discretionary spending. Hang on one second. No, I'm not gone. I'm still here. The CDC being wrong on everything about the pandemic and taking 2.5 years to admit even a fraction of it is proof positive that centralizing healthcare decisions is a bad idea. It's a horrible idea. Especially in a country that you're supposedly free to make your own decisions. What a centralized public health service should do is make recommendations and be advisory. Like, hey, this virus escaped from the Wuhan lab, we got to be on the lookout for it. Make sure you're living healthy. You know, pay attention to your friends and family being sick and be prepared to react however you want to react to catching this virus. It shouldn't be making procedure decisions about how you're going to be treated in, I was going to say prison, but yeah, prison, hospital. It shouldn't be limiting the choices of people to do something to save their own lives. It shouldn't be taking away medications that have been shown to be effective. But yet that's what this CDC did. It says, and this story, by the way, is from Epic Times. Yeah, Epic Times. Got a lot of information from them. After botching the COVID response in every possible and improbable way, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention now wants more money and more power. And that's what I was trying to get at earlier when Walensky said that they fell short. You know, one of the other things she said that I didn't comment on that I really wanted to, she said, it fell short and that an internal reorganization has been launched to improve response times and data sharing and to make health guidance easier to understand. And you know what that means, right? It means less likely to be debated. Yeah, easier to understand. Go get your jab now. No questions asked. You know, the more kind of dictatorial role of a CDC or a, you know, World Health Organization. The World Health Organization is doing the same thing. They want more money because they want to make more demands. And unfortunately, you know, we just keep letting them do. I shouldn't say we. But, you know, they keep getting away with it. Nobody's stopping them. They've refused to take into account, this is what I was getting to earlier, they've refused to take into account other public health parameters such as suicides and alcoholism caused by lockdowns and deaths due to lack of treatment for chronic conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. They're also refusing to address what is clearly deteriorating immune function among the COVID jabbed. The list goes on. Let alone civil rights, like I said, being able to make choices for yourself, living in a free society where, you know, our freedoms come from God, not from the government. The government sure tries and has, in the last 2 years, forced people into positions that they shouldn't have been forced into. In March 2022, Walensky admitted that they never suspected the effectiveness of the shots to wane, despite clear and abundant evidence shared on alternative media platforms, like Real Liberty Media, that the shots were not working. What's more, she admitted her source for the 95% effective vaccine was a CNN report, which in turn pulled its information directly from a Pfizer press release. That's the level of data gathering for decision making we're dealing with here. And this is where I have to say exactly, what kind of scientist is Dr. Rochelle Walensky? And I want to go back to this discussion I had with my cardiologist on Wednesday. I wanted to know from my cardiologist what he thought about a journal article that was printed in 2015. It was done in Japan, where they studied a large population of people, and they looked at, you know, mortality rate of people with different levels of cholesterol. You know, cholesterol, the thing that the doc tells you, you got to lower your cholesterol, you know, to be healthy. My doc, a cardiologist who I never met before, and he was really nice. He really actually took a lot of time to sit and talk with me. I mean, for like an hour. He wasn't in a big hurry, like, come in, 5 minutes, blah, 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 I got to go, see ya. He literally sat down, and I told him, I think I told you guys on Wednesday, that I had this big, long discussion about why I shouldn't have had this freaking heart attack and why I thought it was a result of getting the jab. And anyway, I was asking him about this study that was done in Japan in 2015. It was printed in several journals, and it was repeated in a few countries where they found that people with higher cholesterol lived longer. My point is, that cardiologist knew the journal article I was talking about. He was aware of the research, and we had a good discussion about it. He didn't agree or disagree with it. It was data. He understood that article existed and that data existed, and still it was like, you know, in this country we look for the difference between, you know, high density lipoproteins and low density lipoproteins, and we're still kind of on that kick. But here's my point. 2015 was 7 years ago. This cardiologist, who could have just absolutely ignored that report, he actually knew about that report, and he recalled knowing about that report. He recalled that article and that study being repeated in several countries, and yeah, it's a thing. You know, my argument was, I don't really want to do statins. I don't really want to lower my cholesterol because I've never had high cholesterol. And I don't want my cholesterol being too low because you need it for your brain to function, and every single cell in your body has cholesterol. So come on, let's not start stripping my cells of cholesterol. My point is, Rochelle Walensky, I don't know what kind of doctor she is, medical doctor I assume, although it wouldn't surprise me if she was something else, but what happened to her ability to process data, I guess. Why did she... I'm just going to tell you why. This is why. Because you don't have to perform well as anything in the federal government. You know, once you've been assigned a position, which basically she was, and I was too. I was in the U.S. Public Health Service for, I don't know, 16, 18 years, something like that. Well, let's figure it out. From 89 to 2005, whatever that is. Once you're in, I mean, the standards of maintaining your position, it isn't like you have to write a journal article or several journal articles a year, or interpret data, or, you know, take some... I mean, there probably is a CME, continuing medical education requirement to keep your medical license. But as far as, you know, being the director of the CDC, yeah, you know, she doesn't have to do anything outside of, you know, keeping her license current, I suppose. I mean, maybe they changed those requirements since I left in 2005. But no, she doesn't have to be aware of other studies. Not only does she not have to be aware of them, she's under no obligation to tell anybody anything about any other information. As a matter of fact, He probably is under some kind of obligation to do exactly what the administration wants her to do, you know, and stay on message that Fauci wanted her to present. And the whole leftist regime wanted to present, and any other information was just quackery, which now they're saying, nope, every single bit of it is accurate. Yeah, we made a mistake, of course. They're going to say that with 2 months to go before elections. And oh my God, just a side note. I as much as I hate politics, I really hope some trials start happening. I mean, I've never really wanted a majority in the House and Senate of either side. Like, I like it when it's kind of even and they can't really do anything, because they always pass far too many freaking regulations, no matter who they are. But we really could use some heads to roll. And the only way it's going to happen is if, you know, the other party takes the House and the Senate by a significant majority. I don't see it happening. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, especially when we really want it to happen. So, let's move on. I'm not done with Rochelle Walensky, that's for sure. Anyway, so my point is, yeah, she doesn't have to be up on the most current information, the most current scientifically proven information, doesn't. Which is sad. You would think that the people who are in, you know, centralized government would want, like, the information to get out of any data. Like, hey, let's all talk a bit about this and think about this. Hell, they shut down some of the greatest minds from some of the greatest institutions in this country and beyond. They basically called them quacks. I mean, they basically called them quacks. They actually, even the medical boards actually stopped those doctors from practicing because they were quacks for spreading disinformation, which turns out to be actual truth. We got to get on with it. Oh my gosh, time flies, doesn't it? Let me just read my notes. Why doesn't she? I'll tell you why. Although I have stated this many times before in my criticism of our government experts, she doesn't know her stuff because she doesn't have to. She is not held accountable for knowing anything. She has locked down a government appointment with little to no expertise in her field other than being on the right team, showing her support for the right causes. Not that she ever accomplished any significant professional achievement before in her life, which would have attracted the attention of several top academic or private institutions. No, she just played the right political moves to win. The left needed her. There she was. Congrats, you moron. Yet with all that supposed brain power and money, what exactly do they accomplish? I would argue precisely precious little. And the CDC's COVID response is a perfect example of how our taxpayer funds are being wasted on advice that range from bad to worse. This is from the Epic Times article. I'm going to move it up here where I can see it a little better. Along with being content, this is their COVID test packet. Along with being contaminated, there was also a basic design flaw in COVID-19 testing kits by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention early in the pandemic. It was already known that the PCR kits were contaminated, but the CDC's findings published Wednesday in the journal, this is a reprint, obviously, are the first to note a design error that caused false positives. Remember back when we were saying it's impossible for these positives to be so high. When the CDC's test kits were developed and distributed in the early weeks of the pandemic, there were no other authorized tests available. The agency started shipping the test kits to public health laboratories in early February 2020, but many labs soon told the CDC that the tests were producing inconclusive results. The CDC acknowledged later that month that the kits were flawed. Duh. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration officials said in April that poor manufacturing practices had contaminated the kits. So the test kits had not just one, but two problems. First, they were contaminated with synthetic fragments, sequences of genetic material from the virus that are used to ensure that the test is working properly. These synthetic sequences are thought to have contaminated the kits during the quality testing, as they were being manufactured in the same CDC lab where quality testing took place. Secondly, the CDC failed to catch a serious design flaw. The test was designed to detect the presence of three specific genetic regions or sequences of the virus. The test kit included a set of primers that bound to and made copies of those regions, as well as probes that fluoresced to signal that copying was taking place. So basically, when the tests were looked at under fluorescent light, it fluoresced because of this contamination. They also recommended mask wearing despite overwhelming scientific evidence showing masks don't prevent the spread of viruses. Time and again, CDC leadership made public health decisions on what appears to have been nothing more than an assumption, personal opinion, or fear. And that's if you're kind enough to exclude the possibility of fraud and collusion to benefit big pharma and the globalist Great Reset agenda. I have some new information, not new to most of us, but, you know, again, proven by science, jab effectiveness still sucks. The COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness plunges against Omicron. This is CDC's data, their own data. For all age groups has been much worse against the Omicron virus variants than earlier strains, particularly the currently dominant subvariants, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention on data presented on September 1st. Let's see what else. But be sure to get your kids jabbed for those 12 to 15-year-olds. Effectiveness went from 60% to just 14% over the same time period since vaccination. It's unbelievable how much it sucks even after the awesome boosters. Children aged 12 to 15 had better protection at first, 65%. 65%. Seriously? So you're telling me with all the awesome freaking technology that you have at your disposal, the best you can do is 65%, and yet every single day you're hearing announcements from local and federal public health officials to get your kids in and get them jabbed. And I can't understand how come people are falling for this still to this day, because the mainstream media, of course, isn't going to push it. If you look at the mainstream media and you see the Pfizer commercials, you know, sponsored by Pfizer, or the commercials are on the shows that, you know, at the end of the show or during the show, it says this show is sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by Moderna. And then they're just running these commercials about, you know, oh, your kids will be so much better if they get the vaccine. That at best is 65%. That's the best you could do out of the box. But the shielding went down to 21% after 120 or more days, so 4 months. You got to get that booster. And then after the booster, another 120 days, it's down to 18%. But toddlers and babies are safe, of course. Over 1,000 reports of adverse events have been lodged with the U.S. authorities following COVID-19 vaccinations in children age 5 and younger. Good Lord. Over 1,000 reports of adverse events have been lodged with the U.S. authorities following COVID-19 vaccination in children age 5 and younger. As of August 21st, 998 non-serious reports have been entered into the vaccine adverse event reporting system. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but anybody can enter, can put an entry in the vaccine adverse event reporting system. Now, there's some warning there that says, you know, if you put in a false report, that you could face prison time, I'm sure. But yeah, you can put in your own adverse reaction on that VARS system. This should cause you to take a breath, even though not every adverse event reported, oh, this is shocking. Even though not every adverse event reported to VARS is causally related to the vaccination, it is also true that one CDC-funded study estimated that less than 1% of vaccine adverse events that occur are reported to the VAERS. So just imagine, it says 1,000 reports of adverse events have been lodged, but they think that the reporting is as low as 1%. And do you know why? I'll tell you why, but I want to move my notes. So why is because if doctors reported these events during the early stages, they were labeled as quacks. They were charged with malpractice. They were fined. They were had their licenses suspended, kicked out of hospitals, kicked out of practices, kicked out of clinics where government funds were behind keeping those clinics open, even if it was a small amount. Yeah, so you couldn't even honestly say, oh, this person got injured by the vaccine. You couldn't literally report an adverse event if you were a doctor because you would have your license taken away. You would have your livelihood taken away. You would not be able to practice medicine any longer because the long arm of the government would come and get you and put you away as they did with so many docs. And that wasn't the previous administration, by the way. Although I think some of that did take place in the previous administration. Yeah, a lot of it is the current administration. Oh, vaccines, inflammatory mRNA particles inhibit and alter immune response. Seriously, vaccine, actually, the inflammatory mRNA nanoparticles inhibit and alter the immune response. Listen to this. Many studies in mice have since found that the LNPs, which don't worry about it, lipid nanoparticles, claim to be non-toxic and safe, are actually highly inflammatory. These nanoparticles are highly durable and can last for 20 to 30 days in the body. While they persist in the body, it is likely they will continue to activate the immune system, leading to immune exhaustion and non-responsiveness. Again, Pfizer and Moderna and everybody else who got in on this emergency approval for your vaccine. This is the best you could do. And I guess the thing is, You did a pretty good job because you've sold millions, billions of doses to the federal government. I don't know who's all paying for it. I guess we are eventually, one way or another. What do we got? Let's check our time here. Oh, we got plenty of time. We have like 5 minutes. And we're going to see if all this works, which will be exciting. Okay, so let me get to this spike protein detox, okay? And I want to, and one of the things is I want to share with you is I want to explain a little bit how the spike protein causes problems. So let me get just a tiny bit of it. Spike protein detox, 6 main medicines and natural compounds. I just took a couple clips from here. Mitochondria are the energy centers of cells. Once mitochondria's functions are impaired, cells cannot function properly. If a large area of liver cells or heart muscle cells are not working properly, the organ's functions can become impaired. This is one of the reasons why spike proteins cause symptoms like brain fog and heart failure. It was discovered that in comparison with the control group, the spike proteins in 3 different states, including full-length spike protein, spike protein S1 subunit, and S2 subunit, caused severe damage to the innate ability of mammalian DNA to self-repair. With the full-length spike protein causing particularly severe damage. In the absence of contraindications, ivermectin was offered as an optional treatment to be taken for 2 consecutive days every 15 days at a dose of 2 milligrams per kilogram per day. Okay, so here's the problem. Man, we are really getting down to it. Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's go over real quickly how you can detox from the spike proteins. I gotta get this out of my way quick. Come on. Guideline for detoxifying of spike protein. Ivermectin. Find out how much you need. Take, you know, even go to a doc. They should be able to give you some advice on how much you need. And take exactly what they say. I could tell you how to figure it out, but I won't because somebody will come after me and my stupid little dental license. You can find it on the internet for crying out loud. Okay, so ivermectin is one. Another one, Suramin, is a century-old medicine that was also first used to treat the parasitic worm disease called onchocerciasis. In addition to treating parasitic diseases, it has been proven effective in inhibiting the replication of many viruses, including enterovirus, Zika virus, and Ebola virus, for crying out loud. Chinese Academy of Sciences, you can look it up. N-acetyl-L-cysteine, this drug is well-established expectorant, which is able to reduce the stickiness of sputum, as well as an antioxidant, and that's its main source of action is, although it's unable to interfere with the binding of spike proteins to ACE2 receptors, it reduces the oxidation of spike proteins after they enter the cells. So it's a neutralizing agent. Plants and herbs, catechin and curcumin, which are both one, catechin is a tea extract and curcumin comes from turmeric, which I've been saying for a long time. And the other thing, carpenter's herb is also used to help, detox from the spike protein. And for those of you who know, I also drink tonic water, which has, I'm going to forget the name of it now, quercetin in it, which also kind of interrupts and helps detox from the spike protein. So that is... that is my coverage of our COVID response till now, what I call the pandemic of politics, nothing more. I'm sorry that so many people died from mistreatment, after possibly being infected with COVID. Hey, I'll see you guys Wednesday, 9 p.m. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.